Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5. The Game, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and Connor Newt here with you. Over the weekend, we bid adieu to Will Levis. Thank you for the memories, Will Levis. There weren't too many good ones, but we thank you nonetheless. I mean, remember when his Mayo cologne sold out? We talked about that. That was fun. Those were simpler times, happier times. I feel like we need the Sarah McLachlan, I Will Remember You song under this, but I won't put too much pressure on Connor Newt. He's got too much going on back there. No problem, man. So, my point exactly. So, let's talk. I don't want to talk about Will Levis specifically. But I want to talk about what Will Levis represents. Get another failed, highly drafted quarterback of the Tennessee Titans. Outside of Steve McNair, who, correct me if I'm wrong, was drafted by the Houston Oilers.
Yes.
The Tennessee Titans have not had much or any, let's be real, any success drafting quarterbacks high in, well, the draft. Levis was a high second-round pick, number 33 overall in 2023.
That they traded up to get. I think that's an important thing to
indeed, know. Traded multiple picks to move up to number 33 to take Will Levis in 2023. Marcus Mariota had his moments for sure, but certainly did not live up to the billing as the number 2 overall pick in 2015.
Won a playoff game.
And to some people, that may be enough.
That's not enough.
No, it's not. But he needs more.
But there's levels of disappointment. But
sure,
no question that this list of quarterbacks fell short of what you always would hope for when you use a resource like that.
Yes. Then there was Jake Locker, number 8 overall in 2011. I have no recollection of the Jake Locker era in Nashville. I wasn't here yet.
I'll give it to you in 20 seconds.
Yes.
They were patient with him. They sat him for a year, then turned the reins over to him. He struggled, wasn't playing well when he was healthy, and also had trouble staying healthy and just couldn't put it all together, and then basically retired from the game.
And then, of course, Vince Young, number 3 overall in 2006.
I invite you to watch the Netflix thing, yes, which I've now watched. To brush up on your Vince Young history. Had his moments. Rookie of the year.
Yes.
His very first year. Got to the playoffs as a starter in the second year. And then it just unraveled from there.
So there are four quarterbacks for you. And Titans fans, I'm sure hearing those names made you say, ooh, just thinking about what happened, all the failed promise. Will Levis, Marcus Mariota, Jake Locker, and Vince Young. So it leads to an uncomfortable question of sorts. Why have the Titans failed to develop their highly drafted quarterbacks? Look, hockey fans out there, we talk about this all the time with the Nashville Predators. Why the Predators have struggled to draft and develop high-end scoring forwards. Although Philip Forsberg certainly has developed into a high-end scoring forward, he wasn't drafted by the team. He came here young. He was developed by the team. He's sort of an asterisk. But generally speaking, when we talk about the Predators, we talk about how they have struggled to draft and develop the high-end forwards who you typically need to win the Stanley Cup. The same can be said about the Titans and quarterbacks. Now, I imagine this is not a unique problem to the Tennessee Titans. But it is a problem for the Tennessee Titans. So here are my two questions at 615-737-1025. Number one, the first question I already asked. Why have the Titans failed to develop their highly drafted quarterbacks? What are the common denominators? And the second question is, do we have any of those same concerns about Cam Ward?
I think we start the discussion by saying it's a really hard thing to develop any quarterback. Outside of, I can think of the Green Bay Packers would be one. I think the list of teams that I would say don't have a group of players like this is a lot shorter than the list of teams that do have a similar list. Don't you think? I think we could probably list 20 teams and then go down the list of quarterbacks that didn't make it. At least not on the level that you hope you would make it when we're talking about high first-round picks. So for every one you hit, you probably have more that miss. But the key is to get to hit more than what the Titans have hit, right? And you hope that Cam Ward is more towards Steve McNair than Jake Locker, right? So the common denominator, I would say simply, Derek, in this realm of it's really hard to find these guys, I don't think they quite had the makeup. This is what gives me hope for Cam Ward. I do think Cam Ward has the right makeup to get the most out of his ability if he can stay healthy. But makeup and the ability to stay on the field are two big things. And I don't know if you could say that about any of the four guys. Vince Young got hurt a lot. Makeup, very questionable. Jake Locker, same two things. Mm-hmm. Will Levis, same injured. Two things.
Mariota injured.
Yeah, Mariota injured.
I think Mariota had the makeup.
Pretty good. Yeah, I don't know if he was a fierce competitor, but Mariota was better than the other guys.
Oh yeah, from a skill standpoint,
Mariota's still in the league. Yeah, he's still playing football and getting paid for it.
Yeah, I think from a skill standpoint, Mariota was the better quarterback. We know Vince had some remarkable abilities, at that position. But I just think if you're talking about a quarterback overall and you're trying to get the guy who is closest to that, I think Marcus would lead the pack in this. I think one of the things that is evident with these, the prior four quarterbacks that is different with Cam, I think there was always a question of leadership with all these, even Marcus, not in a bad way, but Marcus, but it was, are you too nice? Can you hold guys accountable? Can you do – those were things that were sort of said about Marcus. He's a great guy. He's a nice guy. But can he put his foot down when he needs to? We understand what Vince went through. Locker, he had a passion to play the game.
I think that was the thing. Yeah. He almost admitted at the end. My body, I can't keep it together. And he just like, I don't love it enough to go through what I'm going –
Exactly. So it's not – it doesn't allow you to be the leader – that you need to be for an organization. And then you look at Will Levis. I just don't think anyone ever looked at Will Levis as this is the guy that can lead us. Even when he was playing, there still was that lack of leadership a little bit with Levis. So that's what I see different with Cam. I see a guy that shows leadership. Does he need to develop? Yes, he does. But I think he has one thing that those other four guys, either didn't have or didn't have enough of. Marcus is the guy that didn't have enough of. He was always going to do the right thing. He was going to be out there if he could. He was going to give you his all. But could he be the driving force, that leader of your locker room? And I don't think anybody ever thought that that was Marcus for that team.
I agree with Willie about Cam Ward's mental makeup. And I lived through the Will Levis era, the Mariota era, the Locker and Young eras predate my time here in Nashville, but I did just watch the Netflix documentary that Willie mentioned. And I think you can say for certainly Levis, certainly Young, it sounds like for Locker as well, and to a certain extent Mariota, they didn't have the necessary mental makeup to be a successful NFL quarterback. I have no concerns about that for Cam Ward. But as we have discussed when talking about Cam Ward's strengths, you also have to be able to excel at the tangibles.
Yes.
We know that Cam Ward has the intangibles, or at least I like to think he does. we still have a lot of questions about his mechanics and his accuracy and his footwork and all of those things. And those things are important. So jury is still out on Cam Ward. I will say the one thing I'm not worried about with Ward as opposed to the other quarterbacks is I think he's made of the right stuff. Will that mean he will be a successful NFL quarterback? No. We've seen plenty of successful NFL quarterbacks who maybe didn't have quarter, you know, that had the, I don't know, I completely lost my train of thought. But but my point is this. I'm not concerned about Ward in that aspect.
Yeah,
I have other concerns.
I don't think he's going to come up short if he does because he didn't work at it, love the game, and have this. You heard how passionate Robert Saleh was about, you know, he said, I'm going to put it out there on the line. He, you know, some version of that. I'm paraphrasing, but he said he's not going to fail. He really believes in him. I don't think that's blowing smoke. I don't think I would say that as a first-year coach for a team that I think is going to struggle if he didn't really see something day in and day out about that part of it. I think we're all very curious about, like you said, Adam, the tangibles. And the other thing is we don't know year in and year out if he can stay on the field. He showed great survival skills last year up until the very last game. But that was part of the issue with Mariota. He wasn't quite good enough at the tangibles. And then just when you thought he was getting there, something would hamper him physically and he would take a step back.
I think all these guys, I don't think they truly, and I could be wrong here, but I don't think they truly won over the confidence of the head coach or the organization that says, you can lead us.
Yeah.
Whether
that's
it's
a, that's a great point.
Whether it's VY, because he came into it. If you watch the documentary, he came into it behind the eight ball. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like nobody really believed in me. Nobody wanted me except the owner. Locker, it still was a, can he be the guy? He sat for a while, and they probably really didn't want to give him the job when they gave it to him. Marcus, can he really be the guy? Can we really trust him? They trusted him so much so that they went out and got Ryan Tannehill. Vrabel did. And then Levis, same thing. They trusted him so much that they went and drafted a quarterback first overall. So now one of these quarterbacks had the trust of the guy that needed to trust them, the head coach. I think, at least from what I see now, Cam has the trust in, you know, Saleh and Dable that this is going to get better a lot quicker than what we may think it will, or if at all. So I think the head coach has a lot of belief in his quarterback. I'm not sure if I could say that for the rest of those guys.
Let's go to our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, and welcome in Jason. Jason, thank you for calling and waiting. Please go ahead.
Yeah, you asked about the common denominator. I think it's pretty simple. Anybody's been watching these many years, the Titans as fans, it's the offensive line that hasn't been able to hold up. To go back to your development question, you know, I'm old enough to remember back when quarterbacks came into the league where you would hear them talk about, yeah, we're working on his footwork, and they still talk about that. But very seldom are they ever talking about how well we're trying to improve his throwing motion. Or, you know, when a quarterback comes into the league, you know, I've also often heard, well, and this is just who he is, and we're going to work with it. I mean, and they've seen it work with some quarterbacks, but they don't. Cam's behind the eight ball because he comes in the position where we as fans and football players, not at the pro level, most of all of us, but we know what quarterbacks should have and what you commentators and individuals should be talking about, and he's accurate. I get tired of hearing about, oh, well, he's the first one in the building and the last one to leave. I don't have an issue with his work ethic. I mean, if you get drafted number one overall, you better have that work ethic. And if you don't, you know, ship him out immediately. We want to hear, is he accurate? You know, I want to hear of my offensive line. Do they work well together? Oh, well, he's got a good work ethic. Oh, well, he's dirty. You know, he's got a good motor. Okay, that's all fine and good. We're sick of it. Yeah. Oh, a quarterback can throw the ball 80 yards down the field. Yeah, but can he hit the broadside of a burning barn with a heat-seeking missile? Hey, no.
Thank you, Jason.
He made a good point.
This is what.
That's why it's so hard to fight.
This is what I've been trying to say. Like, I know what the building is saying. I know what they're saying we see in practice. But when people watch the games, they're seeing something different. And I know the Titans say everything was vanilla. And, you know, we'll be fine. We'll be able to turn it on. I get that. And I hope the Titans are able to do that. But when your fans call into the show and they describe it this way, hey, you got to take them for what they're only telling you what they're seeing on television. But you're trying to tell them that no, it's better than that. And I believe the Titans because what I've seen, but what about the people that didn't see what I saw? Only thing they've seen is what they've watched on television.
Let's go to Steve on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Steve, thank you for calling and waiting. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Right quick, Willie, thank you for all the years you've grown up in this industry and what you do for the Predators and what you did with George for many years. Derek, thank you for being what you were with the Titans. Yeah, I hate you went to the Ravens. But, hey, you know, I was a season ticket holder for 20-plus years. Yeah. And Adam, thank you for what you do now, okay? Again, let me get that out of the way. But number one, my point is, did Tom Brady have the protection that allowed him to be healthy for all those years to do what he did versus the quarterbacks we had, Steve McNair and all the guys down the line, was that part of the problem that we didn't keep our quarterbacks healthy enough to progress to what they could have been versus what they were when it got down to it? Okay. I go back all the way to, I came to Nashville from North Alabama in the 70s. I go back to Duncan Stewart who went on top of a sign up there. You know, when talk radio started, I go back that far, and I worked for a long time driving across Nashville and listening to you guys, Floyd Reese and all these people. I appreciate everything that all of you have done to make Nashville talk radio what it is. But as far as the Titans themselves, the fact that we didn't protect our quarterback to let him have longevity like some of these other quarterbacks did. And I appreciate, again, everything you guys do, and I'll hang up. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Steve. And one texter said during Steve's call, Adam got a shout-out this time. I thought the same thing.
Right. He did, yes.
I was waiting for Steve to say, the other guy. Anyway, 615. I appreciate it, Steve. 615-737-1025. Now that Will Levis.
Well, look, real quick on the offensive line. I don't think that is certainly that's a part of it. The team around you, not just the offensive line. But, for example, Mariota, when he lost the job in the middle of the season to Ryan Tannehill, the team played very well, better under Tannehill with the same offensive line. It's not like they brought in a whole new offensive line. So it's not just that.
615-737-1025. Now that Will Levis is gone. And by the way, last I checked, nobody has signed Will Levis. He went on claim through waivers, unsurprisingly. We'll see if Will Levis ends up anywhere else. But now that Will Levis is no longer a member of the Tennessee Titans, we can put him on the pile of failed, highly drafted Titans quarterbacks, along with Marcus Mariota, Jake Locker, and Vince Young. Two questions for all of you at 615-737-1025. One, why have the Titans failed to develop their highly drafted quarterbacks? Two, do we have any of those concerns about Cam Ward? 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.
Robin Hood, Men of Thieves.
Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
You were looking for Men in
Men
Tights.
Men in Tights.
Men in Tights.
The Mel Brooks parody.
Prince of Thieves.
Yeah. Which was great. That was so funny.
A little Bryan Adams on your drive home.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Fun movie, Kevin Costner, even though his British accent left a little bit to be desired back in the day. He sounded more like Crash Davis. But, you know, it worked.
He made it through. So the Tennessee Titans over the weekend, as you all know, waived Will Levis. So the Will Levis era in Nashville, well, it's been over. But now it's officially over as he is no longer a member of the organization. So add Will Levis to the pile with Marcus Mariota, Jake Locker, and Vince Young of failed, highly drafted Titans quarterbacks. So here is the question we are discussing. Two questions, actually. At 615-737-1025. One, why have the Titans failed to develop their highly drafted quarterbacks? And two, do we have any of those concerns about Cam Ward? Let's get to some of your reaction. Let's start with our friend Bear on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Bear, thank you for waiting. Please go ahead.
Good evening, fellas. Y'all pretty much covered it. I'd say, I can't blame the organization. You know what I'm saying? You come into it, you grown men, you know, it's a level of professionalism, respect, stuff like that. You got to put in the work. You know, it ain't just, you know, like with VY, I think you just thought, they're just going to be like with Texas in high school, man. I'm just going to go out here and forgive me for this phrase, but I'm just going to go out here and ask me to everybody. And it just wasn't happening in the NFL. You know, he caught him off guard a little bit at this rookie year at the beginning, but, you know, once they figured, oh, well, he can't do this, he can't do that. We got him. We're going to play zone defense and just let him figure it out. You know, he couldn't do it. And you know, he just had he was kind of a head case and all that, you know, and like I said, Locker, he just didn't have the fire design. His body betrayed him. And kind of the same thing with Marcus. You know, Marcus, he seemed like the type of person I'm just going to do exactly what they tell me, and I'm not going to make any mistakes. And, you know, you just can't play the position that way. But, you know, y'all mark my words, man. Levis, he's going to be playing in February, man. Y'all watch. I'll never, man. The UFL don't start to March. My bad. All right,
guys. Thank you, Bear.
I hope they are playing in February, Bear.
On our text line, one texter says, as an organization, it doesn't appear the Titans have ever put into place a traditional system to develop young quarterbacks. Dan Orlovsky said last year that it would be typical for young quarterbacks to have portions of camp and practice dedicated to mechanics and skills traditionally needed for quarterback success, and did not appear to him the Titans were doing that last season in the Callahan era with Cam Ward.
You just don't have the time you used to have. In theory, what Orlovsky said is true, but you just don't have that time anymore. The collective bargaining has restricted a lot of that, you know, where quarterbacks can come in. We basically lived at the facility, you know, and it was wink, wink, mandatory. Mandatory, but not mandatory that you be in there, that we see you. And I know a lot of guys didn't like it, but ultimately you saw the fruit of it, which you don't see a lot now. The development, you know, you getting the right development as a young quarterback, getting the days that you need and to build on, and everything's just not. Because even though everything's structured, without as many days, it's rushed. A lot of things are rushed, and you just hope, like Borgonzi said, as the season continues to go, then we would develop as a team.
Let's go to Dustin and Laverne on our phone line. Dustin, thank you for calling and waiting. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. So with my answer, I'm, of course, going to be a little facetious about it. There's always a little truth in, you know, joking. But, you know, the Titans, for being a Titans fan, I pretty much have given up on all superstitions and all those kind of things. I've tried everything in the world, and, you know, we don't ever seem to get that luck that you would think that you'd get from it. But did you guys ever see the kind of gimmicky little special that Peyton Manning did when he went to the Detroit Lions field and he cleansed their field and their organization with the bathtub on the field?
I don't recall this, but go on.
I recall the one he did for Buffalo, I think.
Facetiously, you know, I think that we might have a little curse on us. I don't know if Amy or Bud or somebody might have went stomping around in some Indian burial grounds or whatever happened. But, you know, I've told my wife I could write down 100 ways that we could lose the game, and the Titans would find another way besides that to lose the game on Sunday. And it's unfathomable pretty much about, you know, the different ways that they find ways to lose games. But that's kind of my joke, is that we're cursed. I know it's not true, but I do think that the Titans are trying to do the right thing. So I'm going to give them their credit. I just wish it would all come together one day for us. So
thank you, Dustin. And I know how hard it is to be a fan of a team that seems to step in it every possible way imaginable.
But, you know, it's kind of interesting because they're not that far removed from a pretty nice run. You know, they never won the whole thing, but they had a good run there. And I think you could say that the, you know, trying to get the most out of Mariota, where he fell just short, and then righted the ship by a really shrewd trade to find the right guy in Tannehill, that was a pretty nice run.
Yeah.
And now they've completely lost that swagger, right? They're completely detached from that belief that they're going to find way to wins, that they've got the toughness, that they're hard competitors. They're going to, you know, they've got an identity. They're trying to find a new foundation. But we find ourselves thinking back to Jake Locker and some of the things that didn't go very well. So it's interesting how that mentality shifts.
But it you know, honestly, because if you just look at it based upon, you know, who has consistently been contenders in this league and who hasn't. And we all know who those teams are, in particular, just a few handful of teams. One thing that doesn't change is the foundation, what they were built on. It just goes from player to player to team to team to team. But when you walk into that building, you know that there's a standard that we operate at, and we do not dip below that standard. And this team has dipped below that standard. It's not like Saleh is setting some new standard. No, he's trying to get them to reach the standard that was set in 1999. And then again, it was reestablished when they had to run going to the AFC Championship game. They need to rebuild that. They need to rebuild that again. It's there. They just need to fortify it once again and understand that, listen, the only way we can try to do all these gimme things, but we have to be an organization that stands on, you know, four pillars, whatever those four pillars are. You have to stand on them no matter who the coach is, who the team is.
Here's my question for the two of you, and I acknowledge that all of these situations are different. They span multiple coaches, multiple general managers, so not all of these failed quarterbacks, Levis, Mariota, Locker, and Young, there's not a through line necessarily from one to the other. But based on your knowledge of all of these players and their disappointing careers in Nashville, would there be any piece of advice you would give the Titans on what not to do with Cam Ward based on what happened with Levis, Mariota, Locker, and Young?
Don't send him out there with and hopefully they have it now, but don't send him out there with a run game that can't support the team. Look at all the teams that have been good, from Eddie to CJ to Derek. They were you ran the football and it helped the quarterback out. Now it seems like, okay, we got to change this thing. We got to throw the ball. No, you can still throw the ball, but establish that you are a dominant run team first.
Who were the primary running backs for those?
Eddie, CJ, and Derek.
No, for those specific quarterbacks, Young, Locker, Mariota, and Levis.
CJ? Okay.
CJ with Vince.
With Vince, yeah. CJ and, why am I forgetting?
Lindell White.
Lindell. CJ and Lindell.
Yep.
But that
obviously
was,
with Mac.
Of course, Vince Young squandered the job.
Yes.
When they had those guys. Kerry Collins took over.
But they had a.
And they were the
they
number
had a
one
strong
seed.
Run game.
The Thunder and Lightning.
Exactly.
Yeah.
One of the best, if not the best, run game in the National Football League with those two guys.
Vince Young's rookie year was the year before they – well, no, Lindell White was a rookie. And I don't think he lit the world on fire, but he was a steady ball carrier.
I thought he was a 1,000-yard rusher. Was he not?
He was the year before Chris Johnson got there.
Yes.
And then Chris Johnson got there for the Thunder Lightning. And
exactly.
Then you had a tandem that really complemented one another. Then it became much more about CJ.
Exactly.
Because
you're
like,
yes.
Wait, this guy's really good. We got to get him the ball.
But
no, you're right. I think you're right. that when they've been good, they've had a very good running game, a very dynamic running game.
And why do you think I want it? No slight to Carnell Tate, because I think he's going to be fabulous for this offense eventually.
The love train.
But that's why I was pushing so hard for Jeremiah Love, because this team, if you take the pressure off a young quarterback, that means the world. It means the world. Hopefully, Pollard and the gang can really get this thing going with, the offensive line seeming to improve. But you can't ask a quarterback to go out there and sling the ball around 30, 40 times without a really good run game to support him. He's had a good run game with Pollard at times, but he didn't have what Mac had. He didn't have what VY started with. He didn't have what Mariota had from the Cowboys.
DeMarco Murray.
He didn't have what Mariota have, and he damn sure didn't have what Ryan Tannehill had, and that was Derrick Henry.
Willie, what piece of advice would you give the Titans on Cam Ward based on the failed careers of Levis, Mariota, Locker, and Young?
We're a little bit down the road now. I heard Mike Borgonzi on the broadcast on Saturday, and I thought this was interesting. In retrospect, mm-hmm. Mike Borgonzi said he's thankful that Cam Ward got the experience he got last year. And I really do wonder, in the what if they had waited. I was just watching, it's fresh in my mind, but the Netflix series, mm-hmm. the Titans did wait Vince Young's rookie year before they threw him in there, and mm-hmm. the team desperately needed it because they got to a bad start. And then it was really Bud Adams that said, put the kid in there. And then they did, and they did start winning. But I think it probably helped Vince Young to watch for a few games. I do wonder if that would have helped Cam, because he played better in the second half. Mm-hmm. But Borgonzi thinks that the experience of him going through the fire will help him this year. That remains to be seen. So I don't know if I have a good answer to that. It's a great question, Adam, but I don't know if there's one thing that I can say. I think Derek's answer is a great answer. The general support of a good running game, a good defense, a steady team around him, and that's what's going to be tough for Cam again this year. They're very thin. They're very thin around him, even though you hope that they've taken a step forward.
One texter says, get it right. Just get it right. That's all we want as fans. Just get it right. Get the quarterback right.
Yeah.
Can't get right.
615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your reaction. Plus, we'll wrap up the show with one of the wackiest stories I can recall in recent memory.
This is a doozy.
Yes.
It's NFL adjacent. Let's call it that. 615-737-1025.
Is it the answer to the Titans' problems? Get it right. Maybe they just need to sign this guy we're going to talk about.
Yes. It could be that.
He's eligible.
He is available. If he's not in prison. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. How could I have a show about the biggest hits from movies without Celine Dion?
Come on.
I mean, you left out Kenny Loggins, who probably has a word that he wants to have with you.
He's got two.
He's got
two big ones.
He might have three. Caddyshack,
mm-hmm. Caddyshack,
Footloose, Top Gun. That's three home runs there for sure.
We'll take it up with Celine Dion, okay?
Now, Adam, you weren't here yesterday, too.
Oh, man.
Connor was chastised.
He took one on the chin.
By the hair metal fans, because a couple of his selections for Hair Metal Monday, a great, mm-hmm. valiant attempt for a youngster who did not live.
He stepped out of his comfort zone.
Yeah, to try to, shout out the hair metal people. And he used a couple bands that were more like classic rock. And the hair metal fans said, nope.
They let him know.
We need to let you know. So it was educational for, mm-hmm. young Connor.
As Coldplay says, when you try your best, but you don't succeed.
There you go.
That's what I did.
But he stays strong.
Coldplay,
man.
Not
he
hair
stays
metal.
Strong.
Also not hair metal.
not hair metal.
But when you hear that song, when you hear My Heart Will Go On, how can you not? Well, don't do it if you're driving. Mm-hmm. Just stretch your arms out.
Let somebody hold you.
Like your Kate Winslet.
That was from Pearl Harbor, right?
In front of the boat. I'm looking at you.
Wow.
Is that I know.
Okay.
I'm
messing.
He got you.
Whoa.
Adam was about to pass out.
Whoa.
This was from Speed, right?
Oh, man.
I was about to take over the six. I wasn't going to allow you on the air if you really thought it was from Pearl Harbor, but good for you. Okay.
Whew. It was involving a boat in water, so you're warm.
Yes.
Or cold in this case.
Yes.
What is coming up on the 6th, Connor Newt?
You already know who's going to join the show, as I call him every day. Fake PK.
Fake PK.
Is on the show. Lots of college football to talk about today. Tennessee got some new jersey patches. I'm curious on the state or how that affects the state of college football. We'll continue the shoot promo on Lane Kiffin, just because, for funsies. And then your favorite, to wrap things up, Adam, where are they now?
Oh, my favorite.
So that's
absolutely
the thing now, putting patches on your jerseys for endorsements or whatever.
We'll get
sponsors.
You money, and money helps recruiting.
Yeah, you got a point there.
The Vols are wearing a Dolly patch, aren't they?
They are. Middle Tennessee State is wearing a Dolly patch.
Good for them. That's cool. Good for them. I'm still sad about Dolly. Hey. It's been a week, but I'm still sad about Dolly.
We're about to lose Lionel Richie, too. I'm really scared.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he had an issue. He was doing a concert, right? And
yeah, I think he collapsed, and he's in the ICU or something.
Oh,
yeah, I saw a little bit of that.
Oh,
keep
geez.
Our fingers crossed.
Ooh. Mm.
Before we leave today, have any of you heard of the story of Dejan Love?
Dejan Love.
Is it Dejan or is it Dejan?
We can be whatever it is.
All right.
Just call him Dejan.
It is Dejan Love.
Okay.
Love.
But that is that not like a movie character in there?
Dejan Love.
Yeah.
It's like an Eddie Murphy character.
In case you are unfamiliar with the story, let me read some of it to you from ESPN.
This is so priceless.
According to
this is a real guy.
According to the U.S. Attorney's Office in the District of Oregon in court documents, the FBI arrested Dejan Love and Taylor Jamie Chan on August 24th in Boise, Idaho. The two defrauded more than two dozen women out of about $1.3 million. A part of Love's alleged scheme was posing as a member of the San Francisco 49ers. Authorities say he posted images and videos of himself on social media websites with 49ers gear on, acting like he was a wide receiver for the team.
Okay, good. Stop right there before we get to some other juicy stuff of how he pulled us off. Connor, can you describe the video of him on the beach with the 49ers helmet catching the passes?
It looks like I think D-Mace could do better at his age right now. No offense, but it looks like
none taken.
It looks like a scene out of Top Gun, like when they were playing beach volleyball, but the football version. Like, it's just a guy in a swimsuit with a speed flex running the slowest route you've ever seen.
I wonder how many times.
But
he had
a 49ers helmet.
Yeah, you can purchase those.
I guess he just bought like the actual speed flex and got it custom to look just like it. It's like $750. So good on him, I guess.
Oh wow, Adam, continue.
Okay. More from the story.
Yes. Okay.
When Love would meet people on dating apps and social media, he created, quote-unquote, fictitious personas as a 49ers wide receiver or as a wealthy real estate investor. Authorities say Love and Chan then created fictitious investments to defraud women.
See, I blame
and
social media.
He got like
media.
Over $1 million.
1.3. Yeah.
I blame social media. They just let anything. They just let anything go.
But there's this
no background checks, no nothing. I mean,
yeah, that's a great
dude,
question.
But it's funny because when you and I know a lot of people have heard about this, and if you haven't, then you need to go check it out after you listen to the show after we're done. But everything that is now coming out and he's saying, it just took maybe the Google check. I don't know. It just took a Google check. And then the way he explained everything, I was like, what? Like, okay.
It's comical.
They sign you. They can't sign you, but they sign you. Then you go on, you go to the away games with them. You stay in the hotel, but you ain't on the roster.
Right.
But you did sign a contract.
He describes the three parts of a
waiver.
The mental, the physical, and the emotional.
The emotional
which
waivers.
The mental and the emotional are really the same.
Did you pass the emotional waiver test, D-Man?
Yes, I passed it, man. I passed it. So nobody would come in here and, you know, go crazy. But, man, it was just listening to it. I'm like, they're like, wow, people actually. And listen, I get. There are
some people that bought it.
Yeah, they don't follow football. But, man, people actually bought that.
He had this, I guess it was a voicemail to his barber, right?
Oh,
his trusted confidant, the barber, explaining that
some of the women that were questioning that he wasn't on the team, correctly questioning yes. that he wasn't actually on the team.
Exactly.
He's like, these people just don't understand how the NFL works. They just don't understand how the NFL works. And they went through the whole thing about the mental waivers and the emotional waivers and the physical. He goes, we don't want anybody to sue the team. So he said, this is why I haven't played a game.
I'm showing Derek.
He said, Connor, remember this. He said, because the physical part, Lee, because I broke my pinky.
Yeah.
But I still signed the contract. But I broke my pinky. So because I broke my pinky, right. I couldn't be on the roster, which I'm like, dude.
Derek, grade Dejon Love's tracking of the football on the beach. Look at him go.
Minus 10. He fell. And he got back up. He slipped and got back. I was minus 10.
The helmet on the beach is the best.
Do NFL players carry their helmets in their cars?
No.
Someone released a DM that like their grandmother saw this happening, and she described, like, after that, he got into like a beaten up Nissan Altima and drove off with his business partner that also got arrested.
I will say this
because I've been reading a couple of stories lately. I don't know why this is a trendy topic, but I've been reading stories about people who are paying hundreds of thousands of dollars to hire matchmakers because they can't find love.
Mm-hmm.
I understand. Hey,
no pun intended.
True. I can understand why, if you're lonely and somebody is giving you attention and is trying to swindle you out of millions of dollars, that perhaps you may be taken by such a scam.
Especially if the guy's name is Dejon Love.
Yes. I blame this. Players, I blame this on you. No, seriously.
I blame it on the substation.
I blame it on the players. You know why? Because this is the norm. You know, flexing with your chain. Talking about how much money you got, driving around in your fence, showing everybody what you got. So when a girl sees this, she's like, okay, this is the norm. When in actuality, it's really not. And they got, I hate that they got food. I really do. But man, dude, take that talent and do something good. Gosh.
He took what Phil Collins told us to heart on the beach. You can't hurry love.
I guess not. You can't hurry him at all. It's just
somebody's got to make a documentary about this, though. I want to know more.
It's when I heard this story, I'm like, wow, he really pulled this off. And with social media, someone didn't look at his page and say he doesn't play for the 49ers.
That was somebody. The beauty of his argument. He was so ready and adamant to be able to tell the story of why he hadn't played in the game and why his name isn't on the roster of the website. The emotional waivers.
Yes.
They're afraid I might sue the team. I broke my pinky.
He broke his pinky. That's why he couldn't. He signed the contract, but he couldn't play.
Right.
Yeah, because he broke his finger.
And you, my barber, you understand this. These other people in my world, they just don't get how football works.
They don't even know the difference between a post route and a slant route. They don't know nothing. That's what he was saying.
Apparently, the barber was the one that turned it in. Hey, listen to this guy. Trusted barber had to blow the whistle.
He did a video of him signing his contract, and it's just him in his house with no shoes on, and I'm pretty sure the paper is blank.
Oh, wow.
But if you can't trust your barber, who can you trust?
You got a point there. And I guess his barber can't trust him.
No.
Man, that is just, woof.
Just, if you haven't listened to it, do it. Do yourself a favor.
Yeah, yes. You will get a good laugh out of it. I mean, a good laugh, because I sure enough got one. It was good. It was so funny to me, because it's like, I live like I was in the NFL, so I know what goes. And what he was saying, I'm just laughing.
That'll do it for us today. Please don't be scammed by any fake NFL wide receivers on your drive home or overnight. But we will be back tomorrow at 3 p.m. Gentry Estes of the Tennessean will join the program. He had an exclusive sit-down interview with Brian Daboll. Really interesting stuff. So we'll talk to Gentry Estes about that and more. And, of course, week 2 of Silly Underdog Picks.
And before we go, before I say what I got to say.
Yes.
Love is Blind UK is on. Ooh, watch it. I love it. Willie, check it out. Love is Blind UK.
So we know what Derek is doing tonight.
Yes, huh?
University of Kentucky?
No. UK.
All right, we got to get out
of here. I'm kidding.
Silly Underdog Picks tomorrow.
I would expect it to see Connor if that was the point.
I'd be on there.
Speaking of Wildcats, Connor Nude is up next with the six. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
Be love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful day. I love you. The team loves you. You hear that music? Don't you forget about us, because we will not forget about you. We're back on these airways starting at 3 p.m. on 102.5 The Game, discussing everything Titans and college football and Silly Underdogs is tomorrow. So I can't wait. I got my 4. Hal has his 8. I'm still in and still in distance to win this. So, as I always say, we're going to be talking, and
you will be listening.
What's on the six is next. Peace.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.